Okay, recording.
Yeah, it was kind of in a lost position.
Let's see.
Yes, Exodus 19:2-8. So Ben and Bill have done exegetical papers on this. So we will, if I get stuck, then you guys help me out. All right. I would say that the best way to go about preaching this text is to use the idea of identity. And especially the whole theme that is very current. Maybe it's been overused homiletically already, I don't know, but identity theft. This is obviously in the news. People have companies that guard your identity, you know, they'll lock your identity. So Israel is going to be entering into a land whereby their identity is going to be stolen from the inhabitants of the land. And once your identity is stolen, then so is your mission. So you lose your identity, you lose your mission. This is a missional text, and with those ideas, we just launch into it. So really, you know, verse 1 tells us when this happened. In the third month of the going out of Bnei Israel from the Eretz Mitzrayim, on that very day, apparently, the first day of the month, they came from the, they entered the wilderness, the desert places of Sinai. We've got the month, we've got the day, what's the year? The year is probably 1446 BC if we hold to an early date of the Exodus. According to 1 Kings 6 verse 1, which would date the founding of the Solomonic Temple 480 years after the Bnei Israel went out from the Eretz Mitzrayim. So that's the chronological entree into the text, but the lectionary people want us to ignore the chronology and begin at verse 2. But I would encourage homileticians to root this in the month, in the year, in the day. Alright. So, Vayesu, first Nun, from Nassau, they traveled from Rephidim. Rephidim is where they were camped in chapter 17, where Moses struck the rock and water came out of it for people to drink. So Yahweh has not only provided for their salvation out of the Eretz Mitzrayim, He's also provided for their daily bread, we would say. We've had the manna, the quail, the water coming from the rock, all from chapters 16 through 18. And they came, Vayavu, entered into the wilderness of Sinai, and they encamped in the wilderness, and they camped there, Israel, Neged Hahar, opposite the mountain. Okay, so then the syntax tells us that we're entering into the major idea of the pericope, because it doesn't begin Allah Moshe, it begins U Moshe Allah, and that's a Hebrew way to indicate a new thoughts, maybe a new chapter even in a way. So Moses is fronted before the verb to indicate that this is now the main point of the pericope, and it also acts as that it's Moses who went up. See? And he didn't go up to the mountain. That's what the Septuagint wants to do. He went up El Ha Elohim, to the God. And this God will come down on Sinai later on in chapter 19. And he meets Moses there. Okay. Vayikra Elav, and Yahweh. And Yahweh called him from the mountain, Lamor, saying, thus you will say to the house of Jacob, and Vatagade, and you will declare to the B'nai Israel. So the second verb is a little bit more challenging, but it's very common. It's from the God. It's a hifil based verb, so in the hifil it doesn't have any causative meaning. Nice kind of poetic introduction. You have Amar and Nagad, which are synonymous essentially, and Beit Yaakov and the B'nai Israel. So this is what he is to say to these people. And here we get to the gospel actions that Yahweh has done for people. So Atem, Ra'item, so you yourselves saw, and this really harkens back to chapter 14 where Moses tells the people that you will see what I will do, and now they saw, they were eyewitnesses. Alright, you almost can hear 2 Peter chapter 1. We were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Our eyes saw this. And he's remembering this, and he's recalling these events for Israel. You yourselves saw what I did to Mitzrayim. Right? He destroyed them all. And I how I lifted you, that would be another first nun, Ba'esa, call imperfect, Vav consecutive, first common singular from the saw, and I lifted at him, see, all of you, all confe Nesharim, upon the wings of Nesharim. Now, what is a Nesher? It's not specifically an eagle. It probably could be a vulture.
Buzzard.
Eagles preach better.
Buzzards.
Okay, that actually is in Lutheran service book, so we need to.
Itos in Greek is the same.
Okay, yeah,
eagle,
that's right.
Can be vulture.
Okay, good. Good, good, good. What's that comment? Like the end of like Matthew
24.
Okay.
Where the vultures are gathered.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So the idea here is it's a strong bird. See? A strong bird. Vi avi et kim eli. And here's a nice hifil of bow. How do I know that? Because I have the hirik under the bait. That's my diagnostic marker. And I brought you to myself. All right? Beautiful imagery. The Yahweh brings these people himself on the wings of a strong bird. They saw it. He defeated the enemy. And Israel didn't do anything. Right? Sola gratia. Now for their identity. And we won't belabor the points, but we do need to accent that this is not a covenant of Israel's status. It's a covenant of Israel's vocation. See, they're to be missionaries. And you are in mission for Yahweh when you remember what He's done and remember who you are. Then you're just by nature a missionary. But if you forget what He's done and you don't know who you are, you won't be in mission. So, and now, Vata, Im Shemo Tishma'u. If you will truly listen, listen, listen. Listen to the gospel, see, in verse 4. Listen to who you are as Yahweh's people. And you listen to His voice. So, almost all of the most recent versions, ESV, NIV, say if you will obey, and that's not right. Faith comes by hearing, see? So you hear and then you obey, but you get the hearing first. So if you will really listen to my voice and you will keep, guard, watch, shamar, my covenant, you will be for me segula. Right only comes 8 times in the Old Testament, and it's this priceless possession. It's not that they are loved because they're valuable. They're valuable because they're loved. See, a segula has no inherent value in and of itself. It's who the segula belongs to. So this comes obviously in 1 Peter 2:9 and then again in Titus chapter 2. A people prepared. See, well, the Greek just doesn't really carry the segula meaning very well.
Sorry.
That's okay. From all the peoples, ki li kol ha'aretz. See, this is the strategy. The whole earth belongs to Yahweh, and Yahweh is going to reclaim the whole earth through these state slaves who have now left the slavery, and he's brought to himself. So this is a reclamation project, and it's going to start with Israel. Israel redeemed, Israel identified as Segula. Alright, so we go on then in verse 6. Again, emphatic and personal, or emphatic personal pronoun here, ve'atem, tihyu li. You, that is, you will be for me mamleket kohanim. Huge, right? So you have the institution of the priesthood of all believers before you have the institution of the office of the holy minister. Now that sounds like C.F.W. Walter, but I won't go into that. But it's very important. You don't have the priesthood until Exodus chapter 29, right? And then they're not ordained until Leviticus 8 and 9. So the whole community will be intercessors, right? They are all priests. And priests intercede for who? Not for themselves, but for Kol Haaretz, all the earth. And there'll be a Goy Kadosh. There'll be a nation set apart. These are the Devarim which you will speak to the B'nai Israel. Identity. And again, as I said, this is reiterated in 1 Peter 2, verse 9. And really then 1 Peter 2 verse 9b says that you may declare, the thalmauza? Okay. The wonderful things.
The
virtues. Yeah. The wonderful things of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So even Peter sees salvation and identity as a missional evangelistic thrust so that you declare what Yahweh has done. You lose your identity, you lose the mission. Okay, so you will speak these upon the B'nai Israel. So Israel doesn't become, the people of Yahweh here. They're already that in chapter 2 and 3 in Exodus. They're already that with the call of the patriarchs. But this reiterates their identity. Okay, so then verse 7. So Moses then apparently went down, or he bowed, he entered, and he called to the Ziknei Ha'am, the elders of the people. Now we know there are 70 of these elders in chapter 24, so we would maybe assume that the 70 have already been designated here. And he set before them, Lifnehem, all the Hadevarim Ha'elah, all these words, which Tivahu Yahweh, which Yahweh commanded him. And all the people answered, Anah, Yakdav, together. Mayomaru Kol Asher Deber Yahweh, Na'aseh. Everything which Yahweh spoke, we will do. And that's exactly what they say in chapter 24. So that's a nice inclusio section in the book, 19-24. And he placed Moses placed the words of the people before Yahweh, apparently. So then he goes back up and said, hey, Yahweh, they said yes! They'll do this! That really brings us to the New Testament.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. Very good.